go ahead and find our spots. Grab your Bibles if you would. Grab your Bibles if you would and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 9. Raymond just asked me to let everybody know our giving box or giving bucket wasn't able to be here today. And so this is our new giving bucket today. And Raymond says some people forgot about it, so we're missed it. So it's right here. If that's you, maybe at the end of the service, you can do that. But sorry, our regular offering bucket wasn't able to be here, right? Just like some others are not able to be here as well. So it's good to see you all. Y'all ready? Everybody wide awake? Liar. Liar. Some of you are still in your beds right now, your head's on your cool side of the pillow. That's right, coffee. Those times. All right, so Deuteronomy chapter 9 is where I need you to be turning. We're not going to get very far today. We're only going to get three verses in. But I was telling Kara, you know, I was looking at going to verse 6, but I think it would have been an hour and a half message, and we don't need that.
No.
Right? Amen. The whole church said,
Amen
to that. So, last week, I guess I went a little long. My son was the first one to tell me, like, Dad, I kept putting that on my watch. I'm like, son, that's what God gave me. I got to get it out, right? I got to get it out. So Deuteronomy chapter 9, let's just read verses 1 to 3. Let's pray, and we'll just dive in, all right? So Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 1 to 3, if you're there, say amen.
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 He says, Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard say, Who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. As a consuming fire, he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou quickly drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto thee. Lord, we need you. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, for your word. I'm thankful for these verses. Lord, we understand the historical aspect of this. Lord, you're talking to your people, the nation of Israel, in the wilderness. And Lord, we want to be careful to not take promises given to Israel and apply them to the church. But Lord, there's some great principles here for us that we can glean from. And so, Lord, I pray as we dive in, Lord, I pray that you would speak, Lord, that you would bring us to a point of decision today, whether we're going to cross that river Jordan or not. And so, Lord, today is a sobering message, and yet it's exciting. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak, Lord, that you would move, Lord, that you would rend our hearts, and Lord, that we would choose to follow you, Lord, that we would choose to follow you into that promised land, to the land of promises. Well, that's our prayer. Lord, I'm a little nervous today. I don't know why. But Lord, I pray you would take away any nervousness. Lord, I just want to be a vessel poured out for you. And you start praying. Amen. So you're in Deuteronomy chapter 9. Back up to chapter 6 just for a moment. But I want you to see here. And so hold chapter 9 and chapter 6. Get those both queued up for a moment. But here in chapter 9, verse 1, he says, Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan. Thou art to pass over Jordan. The implication is you're not supposed to be where you are currently. There's another step you need to take in your walk with me. Right? And so that's what's going on here. So just before we get too far into this, I just want to let you know that to remind you that there are three types of people in the room today. There are three types of people in here. Maybe you can put it this way. You are in one of three places in this room. And to put it this way is there are some people, I can't even imagine in a room this big with this amount of people in here, I'm sure there's somebody here that is still in Egypt. You are still in Egypt. In other words, you are lost. You are separated from God. You don't have a relationship with God. because you believe in God, but you don't necessarily know him. If you were to die today, you're not even so sure that you would know where you're going to spend eternity. The Bible says you are in Egypt. Egypt is a picture of the world. You are dead in your sins. I'm sure there's at least one person in the room that is in Egypt today. The second group of people, they're in the wilderness. That's where you are. You are in the wilderness. You are saved, but you're wondering. And you've been wondering for years. You know you met Jesus Christ. You can take him to that day, to that hour, to that moment. You bow the knee. You call on Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. You are washed in blood. Praise the Lord, and yet you're still in the wilderness. You're still wondering. You don't really know what it means to follow the Lord. Now, you're following leaders. And you're following God's leaders, but are you really following Jesus? That's the second group. And then there's a third group. And that third group are those who are actually in the promised land. You've crossed over the proverbial River Jordan. That you are walking in the land of promises. You are walking according to the promises of God's word. That you are in the word of God for yourself. You are opening the word of God and the promises. And you are studying them. And you are following the Lord Jesus Christ. You're either in Egypt, you're in the wilderness, or in the promised land today. My prayer is that if you're in Egypt, that you would get saved today. That's my prayer. My prayer is that if you were in the wilderness, that you would finally make the decision to cross over the River Jordan into the land of promises. That's the whole message. And it's going to be very, very simple. Right? So the sermon title is this, Should I Stay or Should I Go Now? Right? The class sang a song about that, right? Should I stay or should I go now? Well, the answer is you should go. Let me just give you a round the jump. The answer is you should go. You should go across the river. You should follow God and his promises. That's the answer. No doubt about it. But once you see this in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 23, this is what I believe one of, if not the key verse of the entire book. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. Chapter 6, verse 23, he says, and he brought us out from this. He's talking about Egypt. He brought us out from this that he might bring us in. That's the promised land. So he brought us out, that's Egypt, from hence, that he might bring us in, that's the promised land, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. So that's what God desires for the nation of Israel. He wants to lead them out of Egypt and take them into the promised land. He brings you out to bring you in. But here's the deep principle. You've got to get this, believer. God wants you to come out of Egypt so he can bring you into the land of promise. You've got to get that. He wants to take you out of Egypt and put you into the land of promise. But here's the practical application we come here in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 1. He says, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, today, this day, right here, right now. So here's the practical application. The wilderness is between Egypt and the promised land, isn't it? So you were in Egypt. There was a moment, there was a time in your life where you were sold under sin. You were a slave to sin. You did not know Christ as your Savior. You miraculously, praise the Lord, you got saved. The end result is the promised land. That's where God wants to take you. But in the middle of that is the wilderness. I've been tracking with me. I'm trying to set the stage here. I need some feedback. Y'all with me this morning?
Yeah.
All right, so Egypt is where you were. Promised land is where you're supposed to be, but in the middle is this wilderness. This is important. God never intended for you. God never intended for me to dwell there. He never intends for us to dwell in the wilderness. He wants us to go through it. That's important to get. And some of us have been living in the wilderness for years. You've been saved for years. And you're in this time of the wilderness, and you've been there for years. God never intends for that. He just wants you to go through it so you can get to the promised land. Right? The promised land is not heaven. The promised land is where you are walking in victory with the promises of God's word. That's what the promised land is. And so God uses the wilderness to prepare you. He doesn't bring you there to say, here's where I want you to dwell. Here's where I want you to live. All right, so you're in Deuteronomy. Hold your spot and come with me to Exodus chapter 12. I want to show you something I think is interesting. We didn't get to this passage last week when we were in Exodus chapter 12. But in Exodus chapter 12 in verse 51, told them they've got the lamb, they've killed the lamb, they've taken the blood, they've applied it to the doorpost and to the lintel. And then they're on their way out of Egypt. They have now spoiled the Egyptians. They've gotten the gold, they've gotten the silver, they've got the raiment. There's a mixed multitude on their way out. And then you get to verse 51. Chapter 12, verse 51, it says, "And it came to pass the selfsame day," this day, right? The selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their what?
Armies.
By their what?
Armies.
By their armies. What does God call them? He calls them armies, doesn't he? But what have they been? They've been slaves. That's who they've been. That's who they've been. They've been slaves. They've been making brick, and they've been building, and they've been doing all kinds of things according to whatever Pharaoh wanted. That's what they did. And yet now they've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. They're on their way out of Egypt, and God calls them armies. Now go to chapter 13 for a moment. Chapter 13, verse 17. Chapter 13, verse 17, it says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not," pay attention, "that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent," first time you find that word in your Bible, "the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt." You guys seeing this? So in chapter 12, verse 51, God calls them armies. They come out of Egypt, immediately enter into the wilderness, and there's two different ways that they can go. They can go the way of the Philistines, but the way of the Philistines means there's going to be war almost immediately, and they're not prepared for that. So God takes them the other way, so they can see the hand of God, and have to go through the Red Sea. And it's not until after they go through the Red Sea that they encounter Sihon and Og, two giants. And God begins to teach them warfare where? In the wilderness. But it's not until after they cross over the River Jordan that God really masses the entire army, and they go on and they take on Jericho and they take on Ai. It's not until they fully decided to come across the River Jordan. They finally decided to get out of the wilderness and move forward. Everybody with me so far? So their armies, way back in chapter 12, verse 51. They're not prepared for war in chapter 13. And it's not until you get through the book of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy to the book of Joshua. Pause for a minute. Joshua, which is, it's a picture of Jesus Christ. That's where they engage in the warfare. See, the idea of the wilderness is not to dwell there, but to go through it to be prepared. Some of us have been in the wilderness for a long time. You've been here for years. What's holding you back? What's stopping you from crossing over the River Jordan? I'm generally asking the question, what's keeping you back? Because I think you get the picture. I think you understand it. And here's Moses talking to them on the edge of the river, saying, all you have to do is cross over this river to get over there. That's all you have to do. And we find that 2.5 tribes say, you know, not for us. We're not doing it. And what you also find is there's an entire generation that says, I ain't doing it. I'm not going. All right, so Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan." You see that? And I just couldn't get past this phrase. I've been spending a lot of time just on this one little phrase, "Thou art to pass over." He didn't say, "I'm taking you over." He didn't say, "I'm moving you here." You remember back in Genesis chapter 2 when God made Adam? He makes Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathes life into him. And the Bible says he literally picked him up and placed him into the garden. That's not what he's doing here. That's not at all what he's doing. He's led them to this point, to this moment of crisis, to this point of decision. That's what he's done. And he gets them there, and then the choice is theirs. Thou art to pass over. But it doesn't mean they will. And so it's your choice. That's what I want you to get out of this. It's your choice. You have a choice. Thou art to pass over. Are you going to do that or not? Now, I've already made mention of this. He's talking to his own people here. So the implication is that this does not apply to everybody in this room. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the rest of this message doesn't apply to you. You're still stuck in Egypt. You need to get saved.
the name of the Lord Jesus Christ has saved you. So my question to you, will you stay in Egypt? Will you long for Egypt? Will you stay there? Will you continue to be a slave to sin? Will you continue to dwell with no hope? Will you continue to have a destination for you to spend eternity apart from the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the lake of fire? Because that's what you have for you today. If you do not know Christ, you will spend eternity apart from the Lord. Are you saved? Or are you still stuck in Egypt? Because I think we sang a song that says, come as you are. Did we not? You don't have to clean your life up. He will take you the way that you are. He died for you and rose again for you. All you have to do is accept and believe that God died for you, that Jesus died for you when he rose again. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, that thou shalt be saved. Amen. I don't understand living a life believing in God and not knowing. I can't comprehend. You need to get saved. But believer, you got to make the same decision. Are you going to not just leave Egypt, but are you going to leave the wilderness? Are you going to stay there or are you going to leave? That's the question to you. Will you stay in the wilderness? Will you continue these years of wandering where it's the same thing every single day, every single week, every single month, every single year? Every single church service is the same. You come and you write down some notes and you walk out and you go find the next place to eat. And next thing you know, it's the next Sunday. You haven't spent time with Jesus at all. You haven't walked in victory at all. You're still facing the same enemies, the same fight. Where you're just in this time of wilderness wandering. Where you come here to get your manna because you're dying spiritually and you're starving. And you've got, just give me something to dwell. Okay, that's my job. My job is to feed, no doubt about it. But there's a time where you've got to learn to feed yourself. Amen? There's got to be a time where you cross over the River Jordan and eat from the fruits that God has for you in the promised land. My goodness, it's time to get out of the wilderness. It's absolutely time. Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 1. Hear, O Israel. In other words, God has something to say. Thou art to pass over Jordan this day. Well, what am I doing when I cross the Jordan? You're going to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven. So here's a practical application, if I can bring it down. Here's what God's doing. He's now brought them to this point, to this moment of crisis, where they have to make a choice. If you remember the book of Numbers, they had already gone through the wilderness, and they've come to the edge of the river one time before. And they sent in the 12 spies, and the 10 come back with a bad report, and 2 come back with a great report, and said, let's go, let's do this. Caleb and Joshua were their names. And the other 10 said, no, we're just not ready. We're not prepared. We're making our choice. This is the moment of crisis. We're going to dwell in the wilderness. And so what did God say? Fine. Then that's exactly what you're going to do. We're going to walk in the wilderness until you all die. That's a big thing. Because we're going to carry this on. We got to understand this. God is constantly bringing you to a moment of decision, to a moment of crisis. You have to decide, am I going to take this next step and follow the Lord, or am I going to stay back where I am? And I'm telling you, God is bringing you to that decision today. Are you going to cross over this River Jordan? Are you going to say, you know what, I'm done living in the wilderness. I want to walk in the promised land, or not? It's your choice. And some, I've been praying this, some of us will say yes. That's why I've been begging the Lord all week. That some of us, actually I've been praying that all of us would. No, some of us would say yes. Some of us will say yes because you're tired. You're tired of the routine. You're tired of day in, day out, same thing every single day, facing the same enemies, having the same fears, having the same problems, and having a feeling that there's no victory. Okay. So you need to say yes and just see what God's going to do. And unfortunately, there's going to be some who will say no. Why? Because they're afraid. That's what it is. They're absolutely terrified. What are they terrified of? Could it be that they're terrified of nations that are greater and mightier than themselves? Cities great and fenced up to heaven. Verse 2, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anakim? You don't understand this someday. Well, some are going to say no. They're not crossing over because of what might be on the other side. They don't know where God might take them. They don't know what God might expect from them. They don't know. Could it be, well, if I cross over, then God might make me a missionary. If I cross over, then God might make me a Sunday school teacher. If I cross over, then that means I got to get discipled. If I cross over, then that means I've got to be actually following the Lord. Yes. Yes. Then why are you so scared of that? Why is that so terrifying? What if I cross over? That means all this stuff that I've been fighting for all these years, all these things that I've been terrified for, all these things, that means I'm actually going to have to face them and stop complaining about them. Yes! That's the point. That's the absolute point. So he says in verse 2 that these giants, these children of the Anakims, are giants. They're massive. And people have been saying, well, you just can't defeat that. Nobody can stand before them. We'll come back to that in a moment. But some of us in this room are going to say, you know what? I'm too afraid because my routine is all I know. My drama in my house is all I know. My addiction is all I know. And I can't fathom a life apart from that. You ever know somebody who's gone, not to jail, but they've gone to prison for whatever it is that they've gone, you know, whether it be drugs, whether it be this, whether it be that, and they go into prison and they're there for 10, 15 years, and they get out, and you would think, go sore, right? Walk in victory. And what do many of them do? They go right back into prison. Why? Because that's where they felt safe and secure, and they didn't have to face the issues. See it all the time. And you see the same thing with believers. They come face to face with truth like this, and they say, you know what, that seems too hard for me. That seems too tough for me. And here's their excuse. But hey, at least I'm not in Egypt. And that's what some of us are saying. Yeah, but I'm saved. Yeah, but Egypt is still inside of you. And God wants to get Egypt out of you. So verses 1 and 2. Last part of verse 1 into verse 2. These great cities, they're greater and mightier than thyself. Cities great and fenced up to heaven. The children of the Anakims, they're giants. And people say, but you just can't stand before them. And we make decisions based on what people say about our enemy. You seen that? We make decisions based on our perception of reality. We make decisions based on phrases like this: who can stand before the children of Anak? Well, that's what people say about your giants. That's what people say about what you're facing. And so you believe them instead of what God's word says. You believe your reflection in the mirror, what you say to yourself. You believe the lies that you tell yourself with your hands on the pillow, that I just can't get out of bed today, instead of what God's word says. You hear me up here preaching and teaching, you know it's true, and yet you come up with all these excuses, but you don't understand. So many believers live in defeat. That's what the wilderness is for many of us. It's supposed to be a proving ground. It's supposed to be a testing ground. It's supposed to be an area of preparation. And we've turned it into a place of defeat. And I want you to notice this. It's not defeat because they went on the battlefield and got the tails whipped. It's not. It's forfeit. Everybody know what a forfeit is? It means you're not prepared to fight. You're not prepared to do the battle. You're not prepared, and so you forfeit. And that's where a lot of believers are, because they never get in the ring. They spend all their days training and studying and doing all this, but when it comes time to fight, when it comes time to cross the river, they say, you know what? I'm good. I'm just good with salvation. I don't need anything else. Okay. then you're living in defeat by forfeit. You'll never, guys, this is important. You will never make the shot you refuse to take. If you refuse to take the shot, you will never make it. I promise you. I promise you. It's just, that's the reality. And I'm not trying to be cute, but this, sometimes I say cute things just so they stick in your brain, okay? I said, I'm not trying to be cute. My mother-in-law's like, yeah, we know. You ain't very cute. All right. But if you don't move your feet, you're going to continue to dwell in defeat. If you don't move your feet, you will continue to dwell in defeat. That's where you're going to be. And you're going to hear a message like this, and you're going to know it's true, and you're going to get in your car, you're going to drive home, and you're going to turn on Netflix, and that's as far as you're going to go. There's got to be so much more to this. You've got to make this decision. And can I just say this? Making no decision is a decision.
Amen.
Well, I'm just going to let it ride. I'll deal with the next time. Okay, you've already made your decision. You forfeit. You forfeit. And I know what you're saying, but Tony, you just don't understand. What's waiting for me on the other side of this decision is way bigger than me. Yes, it is. Scripture says that it is. It's nations bigger and mightier than you. It's cities walled up to heaven. It's giants. That's what it is. Tony, I know what you're saying, but you don't understand. Like it's way bigger than you can even imagine. Yeah. You're right. It is way bigger than you can even imagine. No doubt about it. Verse 3. Understand, therefore, this day. That's the second time he used those words, this day. Today. Don't put this thing off tomorrow. Today's the decision. Today. He says, understand, therefore, this day, that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. Did you catch that? Did you catch what he just said, verse 3? Understand, therefore, this day, that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over, where? Before thee. As a consuming fire, he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto thee. Tony, you so understand, it's so big, it's bigger than you can even imagine. And my response to you would be this: no, you don't understand. You don't understand that who is waiting for you on the other side of this decision is way bigger than anything that you might face. Did you get that? Because you're worried about what might be facing you instead of who is up before you, who is leading you. Because when you make the decision to cross, the Lord says, I'll meet you on the other side. I'm ready for this. I'm going to face your enemies. I'm going to take them out. Could it be the reason you are fighting the enemy that you're facing every single day, over and over and over again, is because that's all you see instead of who the victor is, the Lord Jesus Christ? You got to make a decision. You've got to understand. And look, the Lord said in verse 3, understand therefore. You still understand? No, I understand. I understand this. That my God is waiting for me. Well, why won't God give me any victory? Why keep praying and I still have the same issues? God's already given you the solution. And he's waiting for you on the other side. He's already gone over before thee. So I don't know who said this, but I'm stealing it and I'm claiming it as my own. Stop telling God how big your enemy is. And start telling your enemy how big your God is. That right there will get your feet. Enemies like apathy. Like, I just don't care. Enemies like addiction. Enemies like depression. and fear and anxiety. And enemies like desire for comfort. Enemies like sin. Enemies like lust. Enemies like laziness. Enemies like pride. Enemies like false humility. Enemies like you just don't think you are enough. You just don't think that God could ever use you. Enemies like insecurity. Because that's really what holds you back from the river. That's really what holds you back from following the land of promises. I'm telling you, I don't know how God could use me over there if I'm fighting this over here. Where is the enemy in the story? It's in the land of promise. You're fighting an enemy that's over there. You're fighting an enemy that might be, it could be. You're fighting an enemy that people are talking about, that you've read about, that you've heard about, you've done some Google research about. But you're not fighting it. You're forfeiting the fight. You're scared of what might be over there. And if you stop focusing on what might be over there instead of who might be over there, oh my, that's what blood changes. No doubt about it. Because what's waiting for you on the other side, get this. What's waiting for you on the other side of this decision has already been brought into submission. Notice what it says. Verse 3. Understand therefore this day the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. Look at this. As a consuming fire, he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them where? Down before thy face. Oh, verse 2. We were scared that we couldn't stand before our giants. But here in verse 3, our giants are on their knees before you. Not because you did anything, but because God has already taken them down to the knees. Just you making the decision to cross over, God says, I got it. He's consumed fire. That's the God of this. So we have this idea that God is some distant guy off in the clouds somewhere. No, my God is consumed fire. My God is a very present help in the day of trouble. My God is right here, right now, waiting on me to make this decision. He's waiting for you to cross this river, this moment of crisis, this decision you have to make. He's already brought them into submission. You see that in verse 3? They're down before thy face. He caused you to look down on that, not up to that. Does that make sense? Yes. He's causing you to look down on your enemy instead of up at him. Because you remember in Numbers, the 10 spies says, be as grasshoppers in thy sight. We're going to be as bread to them. And God flips the script and says, no, they're the grasshoppers in my sight. You're going to eat their lunch. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says this. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, what's the rest of the verse? Who can be against us? Oh, we love quoting verses like that until we have to apply it. Psalm 56, verse 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Let's get super practical. The only thing, this is important, I feel like I say that a lot, but it's true. The only thing that is keeping you from the other side of this decision is your submission. The only thing keeping you back is whether you're going to submit or not. Amen? We know it's true. Your enemy is already in submission, been brought to his knees. So what's holding you back? Your submission. Submission to the truth. Now, what's the very first word of verse 3? What's the very first word? Understand. Let's just look into this word understand just for a moment. Let me define understanding for you. Understand means to stand under in submission. Understand means to submit to truth. Understand means to stand under. I mean, wow, that's hard to understand. How many times, parents, have you said to your kids, do you understand the words that come out of my mouth? You ever said those words? Do you understand me? And what you really want them to, what you're conveying, what they're hearing is, yes, I can repeat back to you what you said. But what you want them to say is, yes, I'm submitting to what you said to me. That's what you mean when you ask your children, when you ask your grandchildren, are you understanding me? In other words, are you submitting to what I'm saying? Same thing. Are you standing under the truth? You see, knowledge is you know what God said. Understanding is I'm submitting under it. I'm standing under this truth. Wisdom means I ought not to pull myself out from underneath this. When to apply this truth. So many of us, I think, are going to walk out of here with knowledge, knowing what they need to do. No understanding. No submission. Praise the Lord, I'm praying that there's somebody here that says, you know what, I'm tired of the wilderness. I'm just ready to cross over. Whatever it is that I got to face, I'll face it. Whatever it is that God leads me to, I'll do it. Because I just want to stand under it. Last part of verse 3. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said it. Let's bring this to a close. You can be making your way to Philippians chapter 3. Been brought to a choice today. You've been brought to a choice. Will you stay or will you go? Your choice. You've been brought to a moment of crisis. Will you stay or will you go? You know you need to get discipled. Cross the River Jordan. Get discipled. You know you need to disciple somebody. Cross the River Jordan. Disciple somebody. You know where God is leading. You know where the land of promise is. Run there. Get there. Here's what I promise you, though. If your answer is no, and you choose to stay in the wilderness, here's what I can guarantee you. I guarantee you're going to get left behind. You're always going to be on the outside looking in. You're always going to feel like you don't belong. You're going to get left behind. Because what's happening here in Deuteronomy chapter 9 is you've got an entirely new generation. The first generation said no. God said, fine, I'll raise up another generation. Some of us have more years with the Lord than others. Truth? Some of us have been saved for a long time. Do you ever feel like you see a brand new believer get saved and they get discipled and then just God used them mightily and you ever just go, why can't God use me? Well, God can. They just chose to cross the River Jordan and you didn't. Yeah, but I've been saved for 40 years. 40 years? Because at the end of 40 years, God speaks to a new generation and says, hey, I got something for you. It's the land of promise. Yeah, but I've been saved for 15 years. And they've only been saved for 5. Why is God doing that in their life? Because they crossed the River Jordan and you didn't. Because if your answer is no today, your answer is, you know what? I'm staying. I'm staying right here in the wilderness where I'm comfortable. Okay, you're more than welcome to do that. I think it's a forced decision. I think it's completely foolish. You're more than welcome to do it, but you will be left behind. And your kids will continue to follow the Lord. And your grandchildren will follow the Lord. And they're going to turn around one day and you're not going to be there. You're going to have walked away. You're going to have a desire to go back to Egypt. And that is the truth. Every single one of these who said no, they said, I wish I could go back to Egypt. And most of them died in the But you're going to be left behind by a generation that wants to follow the Lord. Don't be there. But if you choose to say, I'm going. If you choose to say, you know, I'm going to follow the Lord. I've got a lot of things to fight on the other side. But I already know, according to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, that when I cross that river, they're going to be on his knees. I'm going to be looking down on it instead of up at it. And I know that I'm going to have victory because my God is consuming fire. I'm going to tell my enemy how big my God is. You choose to say yes. You choose to say, I'm going. Then God's going to lead you to eliminate what's been holding you back for all these years. Instead of living in defeat and forfeit, you actually get to stand on the battlefield. And if you know anything about the battles with the Lord, it's all you have to do is show up. Can I get an amen? All you have to do is show up. And the battle is already won. And God will lead you to face all these enemies that you have. One by one. Did you catch this? Verse 3, chapter 9, verse 3. You said go to Philippians. Yeah, we're going there. Deuteronomy 9, last part of verse 3. So shalt thou drive them out. The Lord has already brought them to you. You have to make a decision. But you got to deal with it. He doesn't drive them out. He expects you to. And he will do that one by one by one. You want a great book to go study and learn how to do that? Go read the book of Joshua. It takes on Jericho. It takes on Ai. It takes on the next city and the next city and the next city and the next city and the next city. He doesn't take them all at once. It takes them one at a time. You can lose your spot in Deuteronomy chapter 9. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, and we'll land the plane here. Philippians chapter 3. There's a good practical application of the New Testament on how to accomplish this. Verse 8 tells you to count all things as done that you might win Christ. Verse 10, that you might know him and the power of his resurrection. Listen, you can't understand the power of the resurrection until you've died for yourself. And that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his, what?
Suffering.
Being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12, look at this. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. Where's the Lord? He's on the other side. I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Holy cow, did you get that? I'm following the Lord that I might grab a hold of this thing that God has apprehended me for. God has a purpose for me. It sounds a lot like God saying, hey, these are the armies. They're not prepared for war, but one day they will be. That's you and me. He's apprehended you. He's got a purpose for you. He's got direction for you. But the question is, oh, will you wrap your head, will you grab a hold of that truth? Verse 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are where? Leave it in the past. Can I get an amen? Leave it there. Leave it there. And reaching forth into those things which are before. Let go of the junk. Let go of the past. Yeah, but Tony, you don't know. You don't know what I've been through. Here's what I do know. He's brought you to this choice today. Make it. Yes or no?
Yes.
Make your choice. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? I press to the mark. Now, I'm no runner. Don't pretend to be a runner. What does it mean to press toward? It means you go hard to the finish line. You don't pull up, you don't quit, and you lean into the tape, baby. That's what he's talking about. You press hard toward the mark. You run hard until it's over. Now look at this, verse 15. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything, look at this, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Please do not hear. Cross the river Jordan, and I'll be sinless. Cross the river Jordan, and everything is going to be okay. And so when you have a moment of fight, when you have a moment of difficulty, you think you're just not good enough, and you should go back to the wilderness. No. As soon as you come face to face with something that's holding you back, God will reveal it. And here's how he reveals it. He brings it to you on its knees. Already in submission. The question is, will you drive it out? Will you deal with it? Should I stay or should I go? The answer is, you should go. But unfortunately, there's going to be somebody in this room that said no. I'm not doing it. You're free to make that choice. But just know this. You will be left behind. Because those who have crossed the river, we're moving forward. Amen? We're moving forward. Let's stand here. That River Jordan represents a decision. It's a decision of whether you're going to cross or not. Should I stay or should I go? We've made mention in the message. Some of us in this room are going to be walking out of here with knowledge, knowing what they should do. And can I just tell you, knowing what you should do and not doing it is a decision. You are saying no, and you are forfeit. Some of us this day, you've been brought to a decision. The judgment seat of Christ. God says, Tony, why didn't you tell him? I did. It was October. It was chilly inside. We were in Deuteronomy chapter 9. I told him. This is the day you have to make a decision today. How you walk out of here determines what decision you make. The way you walk out of here, what you're focusing on, if you're focusing on your enemy, you made the wrong choice. If you're focusing on the God who's waiting on you on the other side and understanding who God is, you made the right. Will you stay or will you? Everybody's looking around, everybody's looking. Is there anybody here that says, you know what, I don't even know what you're talking about? That just went way over my head. You might be in Egypt. You may not know Jesus as your Savior. But there is somebody here that would love to open the Bible and share with you how you can know Jesus as your Savior. Is there anybody just say, you know what, that's me. I'm not going to call you the front. I'm not going to call you by name. I'm just going to connect you with somebody that would take you into another corner in this building and open the Bible and share with you how you can know Jesus as your Savior. Where you can come out of Egypt. Anybody? Everybody's looking around. I know. It's going to take a lot of guts to raise your hand. I get it. Anybody? Okay. If you just weren't brave enough to raise your hand, grab a hold of something before you leave. Come out of Egypt today. But believers, get disciple. Make a disciple. Choose to no longer expect somebody else to feed you all the time. Walk in victory in the promises that God has for you. Read the Bible for yourself. Apply the truths for yourself. I want to be a church that's crossed the river. Amen. Please don't let me out. Please don't. Take a few moments. Why don't you cry out to me? If you need to come forward, you need to just plant a stake in the ground, you need to say, this is the day I'm doing it, then you do that. You can do business right where you are. And then Mason, once you come up, we'll close this out in prayer.
Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning, God, which is a sobering message, Lord, that, man, you've called us to something so much greater than just the filth of life and the temporary joys of this life and the chains that we attach ourselves to, Lord. You've called us to walk in your promises, Lord. So I pray that today we would cross the Jordan, Lord, that we would do what the seemingly impossible, understanding that all it is just trusting you and walking forward in faith. Lord, I pray that for every one of us today. Lord, I pray that you would just, man, give us a heart to reach our community this week, Lord, as we depart. And it's in your name we ask all these things, Lord Jesus. Amen.